Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. It's going to be the best show of the week, I promise. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, ready to go. It could be my best or worst day ever. I had an epiphany about Tua last night that I think he's going to be a bust. I don't even want to get into it for the next 10 minutes. I'll get into it in about 15 minutes. Let's just not talk about it right now. It was not good. Something came to me, and it freaked me out. And I think he's potentially going to be a big bust. All right, Joy Taylor's joining me.
The set looks great.
It does.
It's we usually have a whole Halloween spooktacular in here, yes. But it is COVID. But it looks really nice.
Now
I like
you,
it, guys.
You will be wearing a costume tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna like half costume it. I don't like to overwhelm you with my insanity.
No, that's okay.
So I keep it like moderate.
All right.
But I will be Halloween-y. Halloween is my favorite holiday. So
All right.
This has me in a very festive mood.
So yes, it should. So this just came out. Tom Brady was named NFC Offensive Player of the Month. Nobody in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has ever been named Offensive Player of the Month. Folks, between New England being bad and Tom Brady now being the best player in football, this is the biggest landslide in the history of divorces. She upgraded to a superstar. He now lives with his parents. There's never been a divorce like this. Brady currently, his rankings in football compared to the New England Patriots, we'll put a graph up. Brady now in the NFL, passing yards fourth, touchdowns first, interceptions fewest, passer rating fourth. This is in October, just top of the league everything. And the New England Patriots, meanwhile, are absolute dreck. Last in passing yards, last in passing touchdowns, most interceptions, last in passer rating. Again, this is a landslide divorce. So I want to start with this. So when I suggested this offseason, this summer, it was amazing to watch the media react. I suggested Belichick is going to reboot. Now, you're not going to tank in the NFL. Nobody uses that word. But when I suggested they're going to be 5-11, 4-12, and they're going to have a top 10 pick, it was remarkable to watch the media react. And this is what I kept hearing, Joy, as my witness. Belichick is too competitive to let that happen. Oh, that's adorable. So you've never actually owned a business. Because that's what all business billionaires do. They reboot all the time. One step back, three steps forward. You really think Bill is too competitive to reboot for a year? The most competitive guy in the NBA is Steve Kerr. He once punched Michael Jordan. Steve Kerr is legendary. Ask officials, ask coaches. He punched Michael Jordan. Kevin Durant leaves, Steph gets hurt. They tank. I thought Steve Kerr's too competitive to take a step back. No, he's too smart not to. The Boston Red Sox, you don't think they care about winning? Mookie Betts, see ya. David Price, bye. They got expensive. They wanted to reboot for a year. You don't think the Red Sox are competitive? Here's what Bill Belichick is. Bill Belichick is too competitive to be bad like this for 7 years. Bill Belichick is too smart not to understand how he's going to win again. That's the only two Bill Belichick is. American companies are full of brilliant men and women, CEOs, founders, that have taken a step back for a year to rebuild the project, the mechanism, the idea. Belichick isn't too competitive to step back for a year. He's too smart not to. There's only one way out of this mess, the draft. It's not Cam Newton. Sorry, it's not. It's not Jimmy Garoppolo. First of all, why would San Francisco give up Garoppolo? Who's their quarterback in that division? You got to face Goff, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson. Let's let Jimmy Garoppolo go. What? I mean, that'd be idiotic. The idea the media couldn't get this. So go look at New England's schedule. It's working out perfectly. They're a two-win team. If you look at the rest of the way, they'll beat the Jets both times. That's four wins. Every other game is completely losable. They're not going to beat Buffalo this weekend. They're not as good as the Ravens, the Cardinals, the Chargers, the Texans, the Rams. They're not as good as the Dolphins right now or the Bills again. And they'll be 4-12, at best 5-11. Do you know what that gets you in the draft this year? Top five, top six. That gets you one of the three quarterbacks. Listen, the idea, I don't even get the media sometimes. Like fans, by the way, here's what's interesting. When I threw my idea out there, the fans all got it. Because a lot of fans are business owners. A lot of you that follow me on Twitter, a lot of you that listen, you've been in a business. And you know how business works, write-offs. You have to step back and get rid of a good employee to take two steps forward. The audience totally got the idea that it's a reboot year. The media just doesn't get it. Of course it's a reboot year. How do you ensure you get one of the top seven quarterbacks or top three quarterbacks now in this draft? You trade Stephon Gilmore. You let guys go at the trading deadline. You don't upgrade. You keep selling parts. You let eight guys opt out. That was so un-Belichickian. Yeah, spend time with your family. Don't worry about football. Spend time with your family. Eight players opted out. It's all part of a plan, and it's coming true. It is coming true. Is if you look at the schedule, if there's how many days till the trading deadline? Like a Tuesday? If they let one more guy walk, if they trade one more guy, what are they telling you? Belichick is too smart not to reboot. He's too competitive to want to see this for the next 7 years, and there's only one way out of this dreck. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance. It's not getting Garoppolo. It's not going to happen, and it's not sticking with Cam Newton. It ain't working. All right, so this is, I will admit, I am from the coast, and I've lived a coastal life. Okay, I'm one of those coastal elites. It's nothing against the Midwest, but, you know, Midwestern people are very nice. They save their money. They pay off their house. You know, flies land on their head. They act like, you know, it didn't happen. This is sort of a Midwestern thing. Joy is from Pittsburgh, which is not Midwest, but is closer to it. She probably has this Midwest ethos. Only one vacation a year. You buy used cars. It's very Midwest. And there is nothing wrong with that, although I do acknowledge that I would tell you if a fly lands on your head, you should knock it off. The point being on this is there's nothing wrong with buying used cars. There is nothing wrong with putting away money. There is nothing wrong living below your means. Don't you want to be a player once in your life? Don't you want to take Darlene to a Ritz-Carlton once? Spend $8,000 at a roulette table? Don't you want to be a player once in your life? Do you always want to go out with the guys and...
Well, I spent $4 on a baked potato and $7 on a pork chop and $3 for...
Don't you want to pick up the check once? Be a player? Like one time? Buy Darlene flowers, even if it's not her birthday? Just because? Add some lingerie? Don't you want to be a player once? Green Bay? Be a player. The Green Bay Packers have interest now in Will Fuller. I don't know if it'll work, but Green Bay has a history of living below their means and buying a used car. They get lucky at hell as quarterback with Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and they never really got those guys enough talent. Seattle's upgrading, the Niners upgrade, Baltimore upgrades, Philadelphia does, the Rams do. They roll the dice all the time. They take their wife to Ritz-Carlton. They buy new golf clubs they can't afford. They buy a new sports car occasionally. They buy flowers when it's not their wife's birthday. Green Bay, go for it. You butchered the second pick in the draft. You needed a wide receiver. Go get Will Fuller. I don't know if it'll work. But you owe it to Aaron Rodgers. He's 37 years old. He's broken his collarbone twice. And I'm watching all these other teams adding pieces and adding. Seattle adds a legitimate defensive lineman, and Baltimore's adding this, and the Niners want to add this. Don't be the guy that goes to Vegas and stays three blocks off the strip at Ellis Island. Go stay at Aria. Win. Be a player. Don't be the guy that counts your baked potato and your applesauce and then figures out exactly how much the tip is. Take the cheese head off. Just pick up the damn check. Just once in your life, buy a sports car. I'm not saying you should have six. I'm not saying you should do it when you just had your third kid and you're putting away money for college. But Green Bay can be so Midwestern, it's paralyzing. You're not going to get another Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to go from Favre to Rodgers to another legend. It's not happening. I guarantee it. You know how lucky you are to get Aaron after Favre? Do you know how lucky the Colts were to get Luck after Peyton Manning? That doesn't happen. You get John Elway, and then you're literally 25 years searching for it. You get Dan Marino, it's 25 years searching for it. New England's figured it out. Brady leaves. Let's get bad fast, reboot, and get the next guy. Go get Will Fuller. You're never going to get another Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. It's over. Nobody's that lucky. You're too good of a franchise to get a top four pick. And the sport is now so quarterback-driven. This is why New England's got to get up in the top five or six picks. With Aaron, you're never going to be that bad. You know, Jordan Love, early reports, that's not working. Okay? So all I know is this. Tampa Bay is excellent. And then they added Gronk. And now they add AB. They're still adding pieces. They'll probably add another piece. They added Leonard Fournette. They didn't have to have Leonard Fournette. They don't need AB. They didn't have to have Gronk. They already had two good tight ends. They're adding pieces. They're going for it because they know Tom Brady is 43 years old. And Seattle's adding Carlos Dunlap yesterday. Why? Because Pete Carroll's 69. How long is he going to be around? And Russell Wilson's playing the best football of his life. He can't play like this for the next 4 years. Come on, man. I know the cheeseheads are cool. I know that Packer jersey makes you feel special. Just once buy a sports car you can't afford. Just one time go to Vegas and pick up the check. Little lingerie and flowers, just because. Not because it's an anniversary, just because. Go get Will Fuller. And I don't even know if it's going to work, but you owe it to Aaron Rodgers. You owe it to yourself. You butchered the second pick in the draft. You owe it to him, and you owe it to you to go for it. And if a fly lands on your head, swat the damn thing away. It looks ridiculous. All right, I've got a theory. This is bad. This is bad. I've got bad vibes on Tua, and I love Tua.
It is spooky season.
Geico Ween.
Yep.
This is bad. I've never done this. This is bad. I had, first of all, my pool broke down in the middle of the night and started howling at 3:30 in the morning. I don't want to get into it. It is Geico Ween. My pool, the engine broke on it.
Why was your pool howling?
I have no idea. 3:30 in the morning, I thought it was a garbage truck outside my house. My dogs are howling. My pool is howling. The whole place is haunted. I got bad vibes on Tua. Maybe that is what freaked me out, but I'll talk about it coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech, more than a grill, lifestyle, smart grill technology, RECTEQ.com. RecTech. Okay, so I had just bad vibes on. This is going to take like 5 minutes. I'm going to take some time on this. So, you know, I'm like the rest of you. The election's next Tuesday, and I'm watching stuff. And I think what happens a lot of times, and we all do this in life, is we take the exception, and because we all have confirmation bias, we want to make it the rule. My entire life with polling for presidents, polling was pretty accurate within 3 or 4%. Polling's always been accurate. Then in 2016, it wasn't with Trump, the silent Trump voters. But now conservatives tend to think, well, Trump, polling's no longer accurate. Well, my whole life it was accurate. Why? Because of 2016, would it suddenly, you can't trust any polling. We do polling at Fox all the time. It always ends up being accurate. Companies all over the country do polling constantly. It's accurate. But because in 2016 it wasn't accurate, everybody now, conservatives, are like, well, you can't trust polling. At Fox, I use it in some of my personal businesses. I use it at Fox. I use it at Premier Reddit. Polling's always worked. We can't take an outlier and say, this is the new rule. That's the basis of where I come from. It's not a political rant, it's football. So two things have been true in my life for quarterbacks. First of all, don't listen to anybody. Size matters. Of the 30 best quarterbacks of all time, 28 are big men, over 6'2 and a half. I'm 6'2". I am taller than almost everybody I walk around at Fox. That's big. The average great quarterback is like 6'2 and a half up. Peyton, Tom, Ben, Aikman. You ever stood next to Troy Aikman? Big chest, big hands, big shoulders, big head. He's a big guy. So that's a fact. But because Russell Wilson dances around, we're like, well, look at that. It's the future. No, it's not the future. He's unbelievable. And because Kyler Murray is also unbelievable, and Fran Tarkenton was unbelievable. You don't remember him. I do, because I'm older. He played at Georgia, then the Vikings. He was the first run-around small quarterback. Three small quarterbacks, you could argue Michael Vick, not at that level, but close, have worked. And they're all run-around guys. You can't catch Kyler. You couldn't. Fran Tarkenton ran circles around people for 10 years. I watched. I was just a kid. I didn't have facial hair then. And then Russell does it, and Kyler does it, and Michael Vick did it. Tua is small and isn't really that athletic. So he has to be like 2016 polling. He has to be a historic exception. Can he be Drew Brees? Good God, that's asking a lot. Drew Brees is the outlier in the history of football. Small, doesn't have a huge arm, doesn't run around, and wins. That's the only prototype I get to use? That's it? I can't take 2016 polling and say, that is the new rule. Polling never is accurate. Of course it's accurate. Trump was a unique businessman that ran for president. He was out there, a lot of bragging, and people didn't want to admit they liked him, but I can't say that's polling. Companies, there's a lot of polling beyond political polling that's used every day by Amazon and Microsoft. They're doing polling constantly. What product will you like? What product won't you like? It's all pretty accurate. This idea that size doesn't matter is nonsense. It go look at the 40 best quarterbacks. They're almost all big. And when you do get the like 5'11 and a half guy, Fran Tarkenton and Russell Wilson, yeah, you can't catch them. They're like comets. You know, nobody can catch Russell Wilson. And then Kyler Murray, you look out and you're like, oh, that's going to work in the NFL. Come on, you can't even. Kyler Murray does. He's like a marble on a wood floor. A cat couldn't catch him. Tua's got all the small, but none of the wiggle. So he's going to struggle to see over offensive lines. And unlike a Kyler Murray or a Fran Tarkenton or a Russell Wilson, who move around a lot and therefore open up passing lanes they can see, Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, they throw interceptions, and we all acknowledge, analysts acknowledge, they couldn't see over the offensive linemen. So I get the small without the wiggle. Show me the success stories. One, Drew Brees. I told you, you were here. I do think his comp, leadership A+, toughness A+, smarts A+, big game productivity A+. But I had this epiphany. I'm like, what am I? I'm watching all these comments on polling, and I'm like, suddenly polling's never accurate? That's silly. That's not true. Polling's accurate all the time. 90% of the time it's accurate. And this idea that short and no wiggle is going to dominate in the NFL, I'm like, who are the two quarterbacks? Let me ask you this. So think about Burrow and Justin Herbert. They're both way better than we thought, right? Like Burrow is good, most you thought was good, but Burrow and Herbert's big, with a big arm. And we're all like, I can't believe he's good. We were stupid. He's a 4-point student with a rocket arm who's big and runs around. So he's got the arm to a dozen, he's got the size to a dozen, and he's got the wiggle to a dozen. That's why he's successful, because he can buy time, he runs around, he's got a huge arm, you can hit him, he's got huge size, no injury history. He's got all the things that Tua doesn't, and it's working big time in the NFL. Joe Burrow doesn't have a huge arm, but he's got all sorts of wiggle. He's got all sorts of wiggle, and he's got size. Tua doesn't have any of that. See, sometimes it would be perfect, right, if you were creating companies, if you're Jeff Bezos, if you're Mark Cuban. All these guys have had epiphanies, but they never come when you want them to. That's why you get all the information you can get before a draft. You hope you get the epiphany before the draft. But sometimes, and I've talked to Bill Polian and Hall of Fame GMs, they're like, I had an epiphany. It was in camp. I'm like, oh, of course it didn't work. Of course he doesn't work. Just like all these great business leaders. Bill Gates has had failures. Steve Jobs had failures. Jeff Bezos. Not all their businesses work, because they get the epiphany after the deadline. And the deadline's the draft in the NFL. That's the deadline, the draft. You gotta have your epiphany before the draft. And I'm driving this morning, and I'm like, wait a minute. This could be terrible. This could not work at all. This is why you have to play Tua now. You have to find out. You have to find out. Put him out there, 8 games, let's watch. And I hope I'm wrong. And maybe I am wrong. But I'm sitting there this morning thinking, oy, did I whiff on this? I had my epiphany. It's too late. I already bragged about him for 6 months. Joy of the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I think spooky season got to you.
My pool broke down at 3 a.m. in my bed, and I thought, why is the garbage truck here? And I opened the door, and I'm like, there's no garbage truck. I went downstairs, thought my dogs were howling, and my dogs were howling at the pool, which the engine broke, and it was screaming through the neighborhood at 3:30 a.m. And you have no idea what it's like to have a wrench and a hammer at 3:30 a.m, groggy, in the dark, trying to fix a pool so your neighbors don't want to come over there and pelt you. I've been on a phone all morning with a pool guy.
Antonio Brown can't practice with the Bucks until next week, but he was in the facility for the first time yesterday. And Bruce Arians was very pleased with what he saw.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. I think we had really good conversations today, he and I. And he was with the meeting. He was in the meetings and everything, and he's working with Anthony Proley and the strength staff. He looks in great shape and, ready to go.
I never questioned whether Antonio Brown would be in shape.
Oh, that is never the question. He was a legendary worker in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's always been an incredibly hard worker when it comes to football. And staying in shape. That was never an issue with him. His last game was September 15th of 2019, so over a year ago, slightly over a year ago with the Patriots. He caught 4 passes, 56 yards, and a touchdown. That was his only game last season. His last full season with the Steelers was 2018. He had 104 receptions, over 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns in 15 games. So that's...
I don't doubt his talent at all. It's all the other stuff. It's the opposite of Dak. With Dak, I never love the arm, but I love all the intangibles. With him, I love the talent. I don't like any of the intangibles.
I couldn't say it better. People keep asking me what I think about it. I don't really think anything. Like, do I think it's going to work? No, I don't think it's going to work. Based off of...
history.
All the information that we have, that it's not going to work. As of late, since he's left the Steelers until now, no. None of the information that we have points to that it's going to work, other than the fact that he's going to stay in shape.
Yeah.
We know that. But we'll see. I'm interested to see what happens. And I don't think it's a situation where if it does implode that anyone's going to be pointing fingers. You did this. Why'd you bring him in? Because if it does end up being a disaster, you just cut him.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like he's not solving a need. He's icing. Like, you've got the cake.
They do have injuries.
Yeah, but those guys will get healthier. They're not like old beat up receivers.
Right. And they're still winning. So it's not like they're in a situation where they're relying on their receivers. They have so many weapons. And Tom Brady's obviously clearly playing incredible with the injuries. It is a bit of icing also depending on how those injuries play out throughout the season.
Tampa's become so fascinating as a team. I can't take my eyes off them. I don't even think the networks get how good they are yet. Like, if I was the networks now, put them always in prime time. Like, we always put these legendary teams. It's like Tampa's the most interesting team in the league now.
I think if you really look at what's happened so far in the NFL in the 2020 season, they have to be the biggest surprise. Because even though it's Tom Brady, the way that the season ended for Tampa Bay last year, which was on a trending upwards, and we saw what their defense could do, they have a new quarterback in a completely new city situation after being in the same place for 20 years.
I don't think Tampa's a surprise. I think we all thought they'd be pretty good. I think Brady being this good is like, this is all Tom needed the last 4 years. Players.
Well, yeah, but also, like, it's very obvious that everything that Tampa had going was good. They just needed a quarterback that wasn't going to turn it over 3 times a game. It's pretty remarkable. You look at some of the other teams around the league that have either a new coach or a new quarterback. They may be trending in the right direction, like Carolina.
But they're not here now.
They're not at this level, not that quickly. It just shows you how great Brady really is. So the Browns will have to continue this season without Odell Beckham, and Baker Mayfield is not happy that some are saying the team is better off.
Well, one, I think it's just completely insensitive to a guy that just tore his ACL. So I'm not even going to comment on it. You never want to lose guys, and that's where I'm going to leave that one.
Well, Dad is not insensitive, and everybody that said they'd be better without him first said, myself included, we feel terrible for OBJ. He's a good guy. I mean, yesterday we're like a PR firm for him. Nobody is rooting against OBJ.
No one.
But there is data that tells you, this is kind of fascinating, Like when A-Rod left the Mariners and they got better, you're like, how does that work? Or when Bryce Harper left the Nats and they won the series, you're like, how does that work? Sometimes stars leave and teams get better.
Also, for that matter, we were saying this before Odell was injured.
Thank you. This is not like we're doing it because he's hurt.
No. It's just that now that we're going to have to examine if we're right or not, we're looking closer at the data. All I want is for Odell to be able to be in a situation where he's able to be successful again. How fun was Odell with the Giants? There's a reason why we talk about Odell the way that we do. There's a reason he has one name, right? There's only a few people that you refer to with one name in all of sports. It's a very limited list of people. Odell is one of them, right? There's a reason for that. He is a superstar when he's able to thrive, and that hasn't happened in Cleveland. And it may not be any one person's fault or anyone's fault at all. It just could be what it is. Some things don't have to have excuses or reasons. It just didn't work. And everyone can be good or great in their own independent way, and it still not be the right situation. No one is ignoring the fact that it absolutely sucks that Odell tore his ACL. Nobody wants that. Would have loved for Odell to work in Cleveland. Cool. I'm wrong. So what? It's great. It's great for the NFL. If Odell thrives in Cleveland and Baker and him have some show going on and high-flying offense, but that's not what happened. And it's not because he tore his ACL. It's just that we're going to have to look at it more closely now because he's not going to be out there.
Yeah.
Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing sometimes. So the Seahawks got some much-needed defensive help by trading for defensive end Carlos Dunlap, and Pete Carroll spoke about what he thinks Dunlap brings to the team.
Carlos has been a very, very consistent player for a long time. He's always been fast, always been athletic. He still moves his feet well and gets off the rock and knows exactly how to play the spot that we want to play him in. This is an outside guy. He's classically what you're looking for as an edge rusher.
He's a two-time Pro Bowler with the Bengals, 2015 and 2016. This season, he has 18 tackles, one sack, and four quarterback hits. Seattle acquired Dunlap from the Bengals in exchange for interior offensive lineman B.J. Finney and a 2021 seventh-round draft pick. They host the 49ers Sunday at 4 Eastern on Fox. The Seahawks are favored by 3, according to Fox Bet. This is a big-time game this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's one of these things. If you look at what Seattle is right now, they're good enough to win a Super Bowl. Quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, linebacker, and secondary. Their secondary, when Jamal Adams comes back, will be fine. They are so bad on the defensive line, it unravels the rest of their defense. This is a big move. Now, I don't think they should be done. I think I'd go after Ryan Kerrigan of the Washington football team, if at all possible. There are rumors. But this is one of these things, a lot of times you add something at the free agent deadline. And we overvalue what it is. Carlos Dunlap is a really good 10-year player. He's a total pro. It unraveled for him in Cincinnati. But Seattle is a Super Bowl team.
Right.
But they are so bad. This happened a couple years ago, and I don't remember the team. I love the team, but they were so bad in the secondary. It may have been San Francisco a couple years. No, there's a team that I recently said, in the NFL, because of the salary cap, nobody is great at everything.
Right, but you can't be bad at an entire
unit. You can't be terrible at anything. Like the Dodgers bullpen was good enough to win a World Series, but it wasn't good. But the rest of their team was so good you can win the World Series. But it was close to being so inept at times that it got in the way of an almost perfect Dodger team.
Right.
Seattle's D-line is so bad. Everything else is on that team is B minus B, B plus. Russell Wilson's A plus. But they have to make another move. This is a very good move by them. But this D-line, this is amazing. Kyler Murray threw 48 times. That's not even a great offensive line. He didn't get touched.
Yeah, that's the problem. You feel like Seattle can do anything they want to on the offensive side of the ball, but if you get into, and it's going to come down to, as it always does in big games, one moment where you need one stop or you need one big play, if that unit is not even good, to your point, you can't be bad in an entire unit, then you can't really trust that team in that moment, and that's what it comes down to in the postseason. So this is a good move for them.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Greg Cosell, top of the hour, fired up today. Am I nuts on my Tua theory? Go to my social accounts. Tell me what you think. I just had this epiphany. It's not going to work. That's why you've got to play him and see if it doesn't work with Tua. And I've been the biggest Tua backer in the world. I just have this epiphany. He doesn't have size. He doesn't have wiggle. So he's got to be Drew Brees to work. That's a tiny window to fit your entire career in. That's coming up. Plus, coming up, I'm going to teach Ohio football. You know, somebody's got to do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Lots to talk about. Senior NFL reporter for the Monday Morning Quarterback. He's our friend Albert Breer, and there is a lot cooking around the NFL. The trading deadline is Tuesday, so there is a lot of stuff going on. And I want to address, because he's in the New England area, I want to address this. Stephon Gilmore is on, you know, in the trade rumors. Albert Breer is now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Listen, this is not a good football team. They're the slowest offensive team in the league. We can all blame Cam, but we said this the last 2 years on this show. They don't draft offensive players particularly well at the skill positions. They're slow. N'Keal Harry could be a bust. I look at this right now, and I do not think the answer is Cam Newton. I think the answer is to draft better offensive players and go into the draft. My gut feeling is Gilmore's graded the lowest he has graded since he's been a Patriot. What they need is a top six draft pick, not a sixth or a seventh win. I think they may move him. What are your thoughts on that?
I know they've explored it. I mean, I can tell you unequivocally, they had discussions with other teams about him in March and April, and they had discussions with other teams again about him at the beginning of training camp. Now, since then, they did give him a raise, but it's just sort of a quote-unquote raise, Colin. They moved basically $4 million from 2021 to 2020. So, put it this way, if Stephon Gilmore wasn't willing to play at $11 million this year, so they had to give him a bump to $15 million, will he be willing to play at $7 million next year? Probably not. You'd probably have to extend him before that. And that's why most teams looked at the Patriots' move to give Gilmore the raise when they gave it to him as a sign that this is going to be his final year in New England. And if this is his final year in New England, then I think based on where they are as a team right now, if they're honest about where they are from a roster standpoint, all the problems that you just pointed out there, then they have to look at it. So I think they'll probably get calls over the next few days, and it wouldn't surprise me if they entertain it. If they're reasonable about it, I think he could move. I don't think they get a one for him. Guys in their 30s almost never go for first-round picks, but I do think it's something that they would listen on.
Are people in New England – listen, you can say – when people get a divorce, you can say, I hope for the best for the other people. But if a guy gets divorced, he doesn't want, you know, his wife to marry George Clooney, all right? Let's be honest about it here, Denzel Washington. So in the end, I mean, Brady's literally the best player in the NFC. Come on, Albert, it stings a little in New England, doesn't it?
You know what's interesting about it, too? Brady's winning on two levels right now, if you think about it, right? Now, he's playing great, no question about it. He's actually had made a huge difference inside that building. That building's really become his in a lot of different ways. And you see guys buying in at a different level than they were before because of him. So he wins on that front, right? He's winning games. He's playing well. He's an MVP candidate, all the rest of it. He's also winning on another level. You know what that level is, Colin? He was right. Like, all the stuff that he was upset about the last couple of years in New England, about not having talent around him, about his personal performance being affected by their approach to roster building. Right now, the way Cam's playing, the way that offense is performing, it looks like Tom Brady was right about all of it. And so I can tell you, everybody here still has love for New England, love for Tom Brady. And I think that ultimately, like, you know, whenever he decides to retire, you know, he's obviously going to have a statue built of him in front of Gillette Stadium, all the rest of it. But as of the right now, for the right now, it looks like Tom Brady's winning on the front that he's playing really well somewhere else. And he's winning on the front that he was right about everything that he was upset about the last couple of years.
Okay, Green Bay's always had this Midwestern ethos. We pay off our house, we buy used cars, we put money away. They're not big rollers and players in the free agent market. They draft, they develop, and there is a place for that. But when Seattle's getting people and the Ravens are getting people, and you start looking around at these teams, the Rams, the Eagles, their GMs are deal makers. I think they have to go get a Will Fuller. And I don't know if it works. Aaron Rodgers, 37 in a month, two collarbone breaks. I think Green Bay's got to make a move. I think they're going to feel some pressure. Do you think they make a move for a Fuller or Amari Cooper?
You know what, Colin? I would actually look at it differently. I think since Brian Gutekunst got there as the general manager, he was promoted to be general manager and Ted Thompson retired, they have been more aggressive. They went out and got Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, for their defensive front. They've been more aggressive in trading draft picks. There's no question the ethos has changed there. We just haven't seen it manifest as far as adding a weapon on the fly during the season. And I certainly think that's something they're going to be looking at. You mentioned Will Fuller. There's a specific reason why that makes sense. If you look at the way that that offense, the Shanahan type of offense, is built, there's always one burner. There's always one guy who can take the top off. And when Matt LaFleur was in Atlanta and they were playing really well, that was Taylor Gabriel. We've seen it at different levels in different places. I certainly think that if there was someone available like that, that would make sense for them. I think the Packers would seriously look at it. Will Fuller can be that guy. Another guy down in Houston, Kenny Stills, could be available. Those two guys, I think, would make some sense. If DeSean Jackson had stayed healthy, I think he's somebody else that you might have looked at. But I think the Packers are certainly open to the idea of adding some speed to the offense because it's sort of the one missing piece that Matt LaFleur has left in putting together the Shanahan type of offense.
So the Cowboys are 7.5-point Fox Bet underdogs to Philadelphia. They go out. They may be on a third-string quarterback. They get blown out. They made a couple of moves yesterday. They were little moves to get rid of some defensive guys. I contend they're in a rebuild. They just don't want to admit it. Michael Gallup. They don't need Cedric Wilson, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. They don't need four. What they need is draft picks and salary cap space. If they were to move a receiver, and if they get blown out this weekend, you know, you start getting to a point like, okay, Tuesday's the deadline. Do you think a Cooper or a Michael Gallup would be moved if they had to make a choice?
I think there's no question it would be Cooper. And it's not because Cooper's a bad player, has been a bad guy in the building, any of that. It more has to do with their salary cap situation. And if you look at all of the guys they've signed long-term, and there are a lot of them, Jalen Smith, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Zeke Elliott, they're going to have to take care of Dak Prescott after this year. You look at logistically where they're at, with the salary cap going down next year, there's going to be sort of a traffic jam of salary cap numbers there. And so if they are going to look at moving players ahead of the deadline, I think that it's going to be with an eye towards 2021. CeeDee Lamb still on a rookie contract. Michael Gallup still on a rookie contract. Amari Cooper is making $20 million a year. The math is very, very simple there. So I think it would absolutely have to be Amari Cooper over the other two.
Finally, Albert Breer, couple minutes left. Tua debuts Sunday. He doesn't have ideal size. He's not a runaround guy like Russell Wilson. I had an epiphany last night. This is not going to work. I had a bad epiphany last night. What do your sources say on Tua? What are the expectations?
So a couple things here. Number one, I heard you say this in the last segment. Drew Brees is the comparison that Nick Saban and his staff gave all the NFL scouts that came through the last couple of years. You heard people say Russell Wilson. He's not as fast as Russell Wilson. So the comp is Drew Brees. That's who he's got to be. The second piece of it that I think is really interesting here, how the Dolphins are handling this is counterintuitive. And I got to give Brian Flores and Chris Greer credit for this. Normally, how does a rookie quarterback, a first-round pick, get in the lineup if he's not starting week one? Normally it happens because the team's 1-6 or 2-10 and the wheels are coming off and just throw him out there and it might be a bad situation, but let's get him the reps. This is the exact opposite of that. The Dolphins are playing really well. They hit their bye. And you know what Greer and Flores said? Here's a great situation to put our young quarterback in. Our team is playing well. We don't need to put the weight of the world on his shoulders. He'll get to play in a winning situation in competitive games. This is a great spot to put our young quarterback in. And so while it looked funny because Fitzpatrick was playing really well, I do think that there was a certain honesty to it where it was, we're not competing for a championship right now. And if you look forward, really what's going to be best for Tua is putting him in a good situation. So let's get him good quality reps right now. I really like what they're doing. I don't know if he'll make it, but I think it does put him in the best position to succeed.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Such great stuff. Love having you on, bud. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
He does a great job.
Did he make you feel better about Tua?
What he said about Tua was my epiphany. He's got to be Drew Brees. So Nick Saban saw what I saw, which is the only comp here is Drew Brees. That is the comp. Smart, leadership, guts, calm, poised, accurate. So, I mean, that's like being... I think that is, I think, you know, one of the many criticisms of me, too handsome, too smart.
Right.
The one that really I've never understood, Colin flip-flops. And I'm like, time out. If I get new information, do you not want me to give it to you? If I'm a weatherman and you're going to have a wedding and I see a new storm front coming and your beautiful daughter's going to have a wedding, should I go, no, I told him on Tuesday it wasn't going to rain.
I don't entertain people like that.
They just don't get it. Let me ask you this. Every business that's ever started in America, What if something doesn't work? Well, I can't flip-flop to a new... Jeff Bezos created an online bookstore. That's not what they do anymore. It's, like, the idea...
It's not a logical mentality.
There are people that just don't get it. You should flip constantly because you're getting new information constantly. Do you want to be a guy that... That's why I don't talk as much regular season baseball as other hosts. The world changed. It's a football world. Greg Cosell and more of me. Enjoy. Next, The Herd.